symbol of the dove. And we'll get there in just a moment. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 20 is where I'm looking at. And God created the heaven and the earth. We looked at that today in our Sunday school class. If you missed Sunday school class, can I encourage you to get into the Sunday school class this week? There's a wonderful study of foundational biblical doctrines. You need, again, we covered the Word of God. We've covered now creation. And my friend, there's some wonderful doctrines coming down the pike. You need to get that into your repertoire. You need to add that into your file. You need to know what does God say about certain things. This world needs to hear the doctrine from the Word of God. Many of our young people are leaving the church. They're bailing out because they're getting influenced by the things of this world in regards to colleges or secular things that they get into. And they're easily persuaded because they do not have a firm foundation on why we do what we do. And so, my friend, you need to be in the Sunday school class to get these lessons that are ahead of us. And one of the ones that we talked about today is creation. When God created the heaven and the earth and all the things that came in the 6 days and on the seventh day, church, what did he do? He rested. He rested. So here we're going to look at one of those days that he created, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was what, church? It was all good. What did he see up in the sky? The birds. That's right, the birds. And so I know that we're going to talk about this one bird tonight, the dove. But, you know, there are many fascinating creatures around the world. And the Bible does cover many animals. I will not have time to cover the animals that are through the Bible. That would be almost, oh goodness, 6 months worth of messages if you're going to hit each one right. But I want to give you a few ones that haven't been on anybody's books, because just recently in 2022, 2023, they found these animals, these creatures, all new. One of them, and we'll look here, is called the Dumbo octopus. Does that look like a Dumbo to you? The Dumbo octopus. Now, you won't see this octopus in regular waters. He is like about 3 miles down, very dark depths and in darkness. Only those deep submersibles were able to see him. Number two, the nano chameleon. See how small that guy is? It's on the tip of a finger. The nano chameleon. I don't know who even saw it in the first place to be able to catalog it, but there it is. Number three, the bright orange bat. Getting pretty batty here, isn't it? The bright orange bat. There it is. The black Vixie features. How about number five? The next one, the rock star ant. I'm not sure how it got its name, but somebody decided in our modern day to call it the rock star. How about this one? The screaming frog. The screaming frog. This is down in Australia, and they say it's hard to be around it because it doesn't just do the normal, you know, frog sound, which is awful already, especially when you're trying to sleep. But some folks like the croaking of frogs and have their windows up to hear and to hear the frog. But this one you don't. It screams. It's like a cat screaming. Watched it online. You can pull that up someday and see what it does. And then lastly, the tiger beetle. I guess its face looks like a tiger. But as to me, it just looks like one of those beetles, Brother Cobb, that we want to kill and not get into our potato patch. One of those beetles there. So tonight we're not talking about anything scary, nothing grand, just a simple dove. Just a simple dove. And so here's some simple dove facts. Doves are found all over the world. Found all over the world except in very cold places like Antarctica. You can find many of them around in your neighborhood park looking for a snack. These doves. And we have them. We find that they're also, they have a special metal for certain doves. Doves and pigeons, we will see, are the same. There's nothing different from a dove or a pigeon. It's the same line of bird. They have the same looks to them. They have different sizes to them. The larger birds tend to be called pigeons. The smaller ones, doves. The more colorful one, pigeons. The white ones, doves. But yet they are the same. The Germanic word is dove for this bird, for its diving flight, while French use the word pigeon. But here I want you to see there have been some famous pigeons around. And the one that was just up there on the screen, if it's still there, yeah, that's a famous pigeon. He goes by the name G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe. In Italy in 1943, during the Second World War, British troops were ordered to take the town of Covi Vecchia. The German forces were well dug into this town, showing strong resistance, and believing that the British forces just couldn't take the town of the German troops, the U.S. command decided to just level the town. But unbeknownst to everybody, the British troops had now taken over the town and now occupied the town. Communication wasn't working very well. And so the Americans were ready up their airplanes and their bombs and all that to go destroy this town. The British troops didn't know what to do, but they had their little birds. So they hooked up G.I. Joe, and he was sent off with a note. This bird flew 20 miles in 20 minutes. That's getting with it to deliver this message. That bird got there just in time. The aircraft were already on the tarmac ready to take off. When the message was received, the raid was called off and a fatal mistake was averted by G.I. Joe. So G.I. Joe got a medal. It's a special medal. They call it the Dickin Medal, D-I-C-K-I-N Medal. And a lady named Maria Dickin back in 1943 put this through and voted out, hey, these animals, special animals in our corps need to get a special award as well. And so for bravery and courage, for a special thing that they were able to do, G.I. Joe got himself a medal. Isn't that pretty neat? The smallest bird that we have, the smallest dove in the world, is called the ground dove. It measures as little as 5 inches and weighs less than 1 ounce. We also have the largest bird species. It's called the crown pigeon of New Guinea. This bird is as big as a turkey and weighs between 4 to 9 pounds. They say doves can live up to 20 years, but most of them don't. Predators chase after these birds, and also hunters like to shoot these birds, especially the pesky pigeons that bug your house when they come over. And so normally they only live about 2 years. But we see, I want you to see something special about this stuff. Not only are they beautiful, they're special flyers. Their wings are longer than their bodies. They're able to do major aerobatic things when they fly. You probably have enjoyed watching them. It's as if they can just take off like a helicopter in place and just fly straight up. And we'll see some verses from the scripture that connect to the dove specifically. And they're special ones that we see as it attaches through the special traits of God and the Holy Spirit of God. So tonight I want you to see symbols of the dove. The symbols of the dove. Number one in your notes, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. The symbol of the Holy Spirit. If you're turning your Bibles to John chapter number 1, there's two major places by which we find the dove. And this is the first one I want to point out tonight. John chapter number 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In chapter number 1 and verse number 29. And here we see that symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter number 1, looking down to verse number 29, it says this. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred above me, for he was before me. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. We find this again in Matthew, and in Mark, and in Luke. But I want you to see something specific over in Luke where it says in Luke chapter 3, verse number 22, And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. Of all the creatures that could be looked like, even it could have been something completely different. But here at this moment when Jesus is following the Lord in baptism before the beginning of the ministry hiding. But it was now time for him to begin that major ministry of the gospel. Although he was already doing it beforehand, but now was the time of him really leaping in. And as he approaches down to John the Baptist sees him, John the Baptist knows who this is. And as he enters into the water, we find in other scriptures, John says to Jesus, I need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, nevertheless, I must be baptized. And so here he comes. He walks into the water for his immersion to be baptized under the water. I like how it says, as he went into the water. I'm so glad John didn't just have a cup of water and was splashing people. No, he was in the water. And so Jesus came in, if you can see the picture, and he's in, and then he is now being grabbed by John. What method did John do? Don't know. All I do know is that Jesus got baptized right there in the river. And he was placed under, and he was placed back up. And there we see what happened next. And at that moment, we see as the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape. He descended as a dove, as the others had said. This figure that we will see special traits for in a moment more. But I want you to say, why did the Holy Spirit choose that picture? Because there's many traits, again, about the dove we see from the Holy Spirit of God. And so there he came. There he is seen. There he is brought down. Not only by the testimony of one, but each of the Gospels written were mentioned the fact that he came. He put his seal. He was a part of it. The Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in one, meeting there, as we see, yet separate, yet one. I'm still waiting for Pastor to give us a full definition of what the Holy Spirit of God is. I think we're all waiting to see that, but I don't think anybody can give us a full definition of the Holy Spirit of God. We can try. But my friend, as we try, we fail miserably in doing so. But here we see that trichotomy, the three yet one, all in one place, all in different forms, and yet the three is one. The Heavenly Father up above speaking down below, for He is a Spirit, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We see the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove. Oh, that which may have looked like a dove. It came down and it rested upon him. How did it rest upon him? Don't know. But it did. And then we see the Son himself, who came and born of the Virgin Mary, to come and to live and to die for you and for me. This dove was a symbol. And we'll see these symbols. So not only number one, we see him in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, we see him as a symbol of rest. The symbol of rest. We find in Psalm chapter 55, the psalmist of David is writing this wonderful psalm. In a time of great trouble, in a time of great trial, he says in verse number one, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. He says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. And horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then would I fly away and be at rest. and be at rest. My friend Adam Clark put this way in his commentary, David in that great danger and distress calls out to God for mercy. He wishes that he had these wings of a dove that he might fly away and be at rest. Have you ever had one of those days? That if you wish you could just fly away from a situation? You ever had that time, those seasons of life that you wish that you could just fly away from that moment of trouble and trial? How about one of those years? I think we went through just a couple of those years just a while back with COVID and all that. That we all wish that we could just fly away from that thing called COVID. But the only way we can get away from trouble and trial, the only way that we can be delivered from the suffering of this earth, the only way that we can get away from the terrors thereof is by God, is by the Lord. And my friend, as David is here, is talking, as David here is writing his psalm unto the Lord, he says, I got trouble and I got trial. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Oh, that I could be able to just take off and leave. That I would fly away and be at rest. And my friend, the only true rest we get is from God. The only way we can rise above the things of this earth. The only way we can rise above the troubles and trials about us is to run to the wonderful wings of God. The wonderful wings of God. And that to us, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Father God, the Lord God, as we meet together and we see this dove mentioned before us. He cried, Lord help. Lord help. So my friend, in times of trouble, turn to the Lord. Matthew 11:29. Jesus said unto the disciples, and he says it unto us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jeremiah even wrote this in Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, my friend, if we could just run to the Lord and talk to the Lord. But here in Jeremiah, God gives Jeremiah and us the recipe in order to find that rest. Are you standing in the ways of the Lord? Do you see Him? Are you asking for the old paths? Are you walking therein? Oh, my friend, then ye shall find rest for your soul. But my friend, can I tell you something? This verse does not end there. There's actually a period and it continues. But they said, God's children said, God's holy children said, we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. You know, most of our problems stem from this attitude of faith. We know we need to be in church, but sometimes we're not. It's one thing to be sick. It's one thing to be hurt. And it's one thing for an occasion of trouble and trial that's about us. But just to stay home, we're looking for trouble and trial. Not to read the Word of God, not to walk in the paths thereof, not to walk in the ways of God thereof, trouble and trial will come. And to be walking in truth and walking in righteousness and walking in the ways of the Lord, my friend, though we will go through the troubles and though we shall go through the trials, as David said in his psalm, we shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall walk and not be weary, shall run and not faint, as we find in the scriptures. But David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away. I want to give you number three. We find the symbol of provision. These next ones go pretty quick. Just looking through the names, looking for the position of the dove, the symbol of provision. First of all, I want you to see daily needs. Our daily needs met. Psalm chapter 68. And verse 7. In Psalm 68, verse number 7, down to verse number 12, We find this wonderful passage of scripture about the children of Israel. Oh God, when thou wast forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, manna. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm their inheritance when it was weary, thy congregation which dwelt therein. O, thou God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings and armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided spoil. Verse 13, though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Yea, though they have lean among the pots. How many of you would say that at home it looks a little lean among the pots? Cupboards are bare. The poor puppy dog has no bone to share. Lean among the pots. Lean among the coffers. Lean among the bank account. Lean among the mattress where some folks hide things. But my friend, with God, oh God, when thou wast forth before thy people, though we may have little, but with God we have much. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you shall win it when you go in Jesus' name. He said, though ye have lean among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. And be daily protection. Not only provision, but we have protection. Jeremiah 48:28 says, O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. Protection. A dove will find shelter pretty much almost anywhere. They do not require much to make a home and are completely satisfied where they land. I saw one picture of this little tiny ledge, even at an angle for the water to run off. And what was on this little tiny ledge? A little makeshift dove's nest. And in it, two little eggs. She had found her resting place. She has found a spot that she can settle in. She has made herself a place that's provided for her. But not only provision, but protection. Protection. Oh, my friend, when we walk with the Lord and we talk with the Lord, there's provision and there's protection. Can I move along? Psalm 91 verse 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It's like one of our hymns. Under His wings I shall abide. Number four, I want to give you kind of cute little thought about the dove, the symbol of love. Oh, the symbol of love. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, and it's mentioned several places. The dove, oh my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Here Solomon we see is writing unto his love and calls her time and time again, my dove, my sweet little dove, my turtle dove, oh, the love of my life, the dove thereof, a symbol of love. The Lord has great love for you, does He not? The Lord shows great love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. He loves you. The dove, a symbol of love. Next, I want you to see it. He's also a symbol of mourning. A symbol of mourning. Isaiah 38 verse 14 says, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Isaiah says that the dove does mourn. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 11, as we look at the mourning of the dove, the mourning of the dove, and as you're turning there, that song that they sing. You see, I always looked at the mourning dove. You ever seen, ever heard of that way, the mourning dove? I always thought it was the little bird that would come out and coo to you in the morning. Bright morning. It wasn't until years ago that I was just kind of looking at things of birds and I came up. It's not the morning, love, the sun coming up. It's the morning. The crying morning. This little bird, you fooled me. Somebody named this bird. I thought it was going to be a happy bird. It turned out to be a sad bird. And it gets its name because of its sound. And that you get. It's as if it's just crying, boo-hoo-hoo, that boo-hoo-hoo bird out there. I'm never going to see that bird the same again. Boo-hoo-hoo. They make that sound. It's a call that they make when things are troubled. It's a sound that they make when things are something's coming near. But oh, my friend, that little sound that it makes gives that sound of mourning. Isaiah 59, verse 11. Are you there? Say amen. He says, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there's none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Mourn. You know, God wants us to mourn. You know, the Holy Spirit mourns as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby as ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You go one verse before, in Ephesians 4, verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The word grieve in Strong's concordance about that specific word means to distress reflectively, to be sad, to cause grief, grieve, or to be in heaviness, to be sorrow and be sorrowful, or to be sorry, to mourn. Do you know when we grieve the Holy Spirit, He mourns? He mourns for you. He mourns for me and the things that we don't do. And He mourns for us and the things that we do. He knows what we could be and should be for Jesus. He is with us. He is that part of the Trinity by which Jesus has given unto us. Lo, I go from you, but I shall bring a comforter unto you. He is that part that's connected to us. He's with us. He's on us. He's about us. The working of the Holy Spirit of God. My friend, the Bible tells us that we need to be with the Holy Spirit. We need to draw nigh to the Holy Spirit of God. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse ye your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Can I kind of add to that? As the wings of the dove, He shall lift you up. Oh, my friend, we grieve. We ought to grieve over the things that are about us. We ought to have an attitude of grief about the lost. We need to have an attitude of grief about our sin. For the Holy Spirit grieves over our sin. The dove grieves. Number six. The dove is a symbol of harmlessness. Harmlessness. It'd be quick. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. That was last week. And harmless as doves. The harmless dove. The harmless dove. The dove that is the symbol of the workings of God. An attitude of peace. An attitude of harmless, calm, and in control. Number seven, we see a symbol of sacrifice. In the book of Leviticus, we find that the dove is giving as a burnt offering. A young pigeon, a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle. We find in Matthew, Mark, and John where Jesus went into the temple and where he scourged the temple. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. John 2:16, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. The doves. The harmless little dove. The tiny little dove. The dove in representation of the Holy Spirit of God. The dove that means no danger to anybody. And yet, God had them to take this place as the lamb, to take our sin offering. The Jews back then could take the doves and sacrifice them for their sin offering. Galatians 2:20, may we also be a sacrifice every day unto the Lord, like an unto a dove. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Number eight. Symbol of peace. The symbol of peace. We go back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter number 6. We find verse number 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth. And it grieved him and his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing of the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we find reading and continuing that God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to build an ark and put it this way. Make thee an ark, which we find God's ark of provision. It says, in that ark, I want you, verse number 16, to make a window in that ark. And my friend, that window of prayer, that we may run to the window of prayer and go to God and talk to God. The only way to look and to get from the storms that are all about us is up to see the things of God. Three, we find God's door of salvation through the story of Noah. God had one door. There was one way in and only one way out. And when the rains came and the floods came up, God closed that door. And my friend, the message of Noah that we preach in the realm of salvation, and my friend, there's only one way through God. And Jesus said, I am the door and no man can enter in except through me. He is the door. He is the way. So shall he be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Noah went through much toil, much ridicule, much shame in building this ark. And when the time came and the floods fell and Noah went into that ark and the rain fell for 40 days and nights and his family was in the ark for 370 days due to the magnitude of the flood as it receding. Can you imagine that moment when the floods came and the sounds of folks wanting to now get on that ark, but they couldn't get on that ark? Can you imagine how the rumble and the roar? Can you imagine how much fear the family must have had? I'm sure there might have been some screaming outside of the people that were perishing, but the screaming inside as that big old massive ark moved upon the waves and moved upon the sea. And in that ark, to where there was only one way to look, and that one way was up to see the goodness of the Lord. Noah, is it still raining? Yep, still raining. Noah, how about now? No rain, but we're still rocking in the boat. When are we ever going to get out of here? I don't know. Will we ever get out of here? God said. God promised. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days, Noah opened up the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent forth a raven. And then much later, he sent forth a dove to see if the waters were abated from off the ground. But the dove found no rest for her foot. Verse 10, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. And he stayed another 7 days and sent that dove out now a fourth time. In which the dove returned not again unto him anymore. The olive branch has always been a symbol of peace. That extend of the branch. The goodwill to someone. In times of war and troubles and trials in the ancient days, the phrase could be seen and they folks would come and bring an olive branch just to make, I'm here to make peace. I'm here to make peace. It's kind of like, the white flag. If we set up the white flag, we're here to talk. We're here to make peace. Noah was in that ark and he was sending out the doves. Is it done? Is it gone? Are we finished? We're not moving anymore. Is this the end? And then the dove comes back. God's messenger. Doves were used and pigeons were used to send messages back and forth. He sent out the message to God and the message came back. No answer. He sent out a message again. No message, no answer. But Noah didn't give up. He sent out the message again, and the message came back. The trouble is over. The trial is over. God's wrath has been appeased. All is done. All is well. All is great. All is going to be great and wonderful, as Dr. David Wood would always say. But oh, my friend, that dove came back as a symbol of peace. So now go back to John, if you will. John chapter 1 and verse number 32. For my last point, the symbol of His presence. The symbol of His presence. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending, verse number 32, like a dove, and it abode upon Him. The Spirit. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can you see the picture of just a regular dove coming down and landing on Jesus' shoulder? And the picture thereof? Though the apostles, the writers knew under the inspiration of God that this wasn't just any dove, this was the Holy Spirit of God that landed upon His shoulder. Oh, if we could just get that picture and know that every day that we walk in this life as children of God, if we just kind of think that that Holy Spirit of God is sitting right there as that dove on our shoulder. Now, if a bird lands on your shoulder, do you just kind of keep doing the same thing you were doing? Yeah, I'm going to bring up my chickens. If a chicken lands on my shoulder, and they do that from time to time, I don't walk the same. What do? I walk with respect. You walk with respect. When the Holy Spirit is on your shoulder, and He is, He's not only about you, but He's in you. The Comforter. But if we can picture the Holy Spirit landing on your shoulder, I think that we would walk differently with respect. I think that we would talk differently with respect. I think that we would be more thoughtful and respect. I think we would walk more quietly and respect. If I knew this special bird was on my shoulder, I went to one of these zoos and they had these birds that flew around and they had these cockatoos and things that the kids could walk up to. And I walked up as a little kid, fearful, and they put one of those on my shoulder and I was trying to hold on to it. And I'm like turning away from it when the picture was taken and just kind of, you probably have been there yourself and it's just there, but out of respect and honor, I don't want to just kind of tilt and make it fall off. I don't want it to peck at me either. But when we think of the dove being resting upon my shoulder, my friend, we need to see some different things about the Holy Spirit of God and how He is with us. He walks with us. May we not grieve the Holy Spirit. May we walk with surety and honesty and in holiness with the Holy Spirit with us. Because He's with us always. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And so Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. But be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Holy Spirit of God. If we can picture that as just a dove sitting right there on you, it's noticeable. It's not in my notes, but that's coming to my heart and my mind. Do you think people would notice that there was a dove sitting on your shoulder? Should not people notice that God's living inside of you and the Holy Spirit is sitting on your shoulder? Shouldn't people see that? Shouldn't people know that? Shouldn't people just, ooh, that man's got the Holy Spirit upon him. It shouldn't just be the preachers. It shouldn't just be one behind the pulpit. It should be in every day, every walk of our life. Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with you. He's here now. The Holy Spirit of God. My friend, may we not. May we walk in the good things. May we not walk in the bad things. May we not grieve the heart of the Lord. But let us see in conclusion, in this wonderful creature of the Bible that demonstrates to us that if a small, simple bird can be used of God to do great things, oh, how much can He use you and how much He can use me as a tool in His hand. For His service. So you see there, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to demonstrate His great love to this world. We need to carry a mournful heart for the lost. We need to walk as living sacrifices for God. We need to be the peacemakers in a land of no peace. And lastly, we need to walk with God. Walk carefully. Walk thoughtfully. Walk quietly. For the Holy Spirit of God is upon you. And He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the little dove. Help us to learn these truths, dear Lord, and all the other animals that we see from the Scriptures. God, if You can use these little animals, dear Lord, use me. Lord, if You can use these animals to be a voice for You, Lord, use my voice. Lord, take my heart. And Lord, take my body. And may it be a vessel of honor unto You. Oh, dear Lord, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Let's stand together, please. We can close our service tonight at 100.